Welcome to the Pump Rules Podcast, the show where cast and connoisseurs come to talk all things Vanderpump Rules.
Welcome, not to the show, but back to the show. But as far as listeners or viewers are concerned, welcome to the show, Christina Coca, Coca Macoca.
That's me. Hi.
It's great to see you again. We had such a wonderful time. 3 hours of wonderful time.
Yes.
And the video didn't record. So you know what? Sometimes the Mercury retrograde is real. That was
Gatorade.
During that. Yeah, that's right. Mercury retrograde Gatorade. That's the new flavor. That's what Sandoval's drinking in the video behind you when the Lord smite him down.
No, somebody commented on my, I made just like a joking video of him falling and I put in slow-mo with like a Red Bull gives you wings sound. And then Somebody said, did it turn into a White Claw when he hit the ground? And I was like, did it? And it looks like it,
let's, inquiring minds got to know, and we're doing investigative journalism.
And I'm like, okay, hold on. I gotta really.
But there's no cut.
I think it's a Red Bull.
Oh, there's a cut.
No,
okay,
I
yeah.
think it's a Red Bull because I think, because it's, I still see the blue top on the can.
Yes.
Okay, now that I've like really looked at it, okay, there's still a blue top. Okay, I don't think he was drinking White Claws.
No.
Okay.
And also, they
false
probably,
alarm.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, how is there a cut? They don't reduke that kind of stuff. And how
right.
would they?
Right. Yeah. Okay, well, nope. Hold
That's
on.
The
Let
only
me make
footage.
Sure
go ahead.
I just want to make sure it's paused on an embarrassing moment before we continue.
That's perfect. Any of
Here,
those.
No,
any
we'll
of those.
Just get We'll just get
yeah,
him on the floor.
That's
fine.
Perfect. I think that is perfect.
Also, this is like the overhead lights, so just
okay. Yeah. Well, you know, your lighting looks good. Do you have you doing okay. the ring light stuff, whatever?
They're ring from like the ceiling. They're not. I'm in a conference room. It's
yes.
but it's like a cool one. It's cool. It's
yeah.
Like,
no, it's a cool conference room. It's for cool people. Yeah,
it
it's
is.
Cool. Yeah,
it's
this is
cool,
not your stuff. This is not your.
It's
not your
cool,
parents
man. Like Tom, it's cool. Like Tom Sandoval's shoes and like his bowling bag purse and like his Red Bull.
Oh my God! Yes, that's right. Someone posted a photo of a garment I forgot about. I don't know. Maybe my brain was trying to protect me of the overcoat that has the window, the peekaboo window in the back.
Oh my God! Okay, the from the Hotel Ziggy thing.
Yes. Yes.
Somebody found it. Somebody on Reddit found it on Zara. And it's like an actual... Ever since that New York Times article came out, people are finding all of the women's like suits that he's wearing.
Yeah.
Because he like admitted it in that interview. And then the
well, and
reporter...
also said, well, it's because the sizing is... So it was kind of like, this is a scientific reason why I'm doing this.
Well, and the reporter was talking about like that... The fit of his blazer, like
yeah.
combined with his like manic personality, because the blazer, she said that it barely came to his wrist, that he looked like Heath Ledger, like in the nurse's outfit, walking like as a Joker, walking out of the hospital in the Dark Knight. And anyway, but ever since then, people have been finding his. They're like all Zara suits. And I was like, I was very confused by that outfit. I was like, is that a mesh back? Is that a belt?
Yeah.
Did he do that? What is that? But it's like ladies tan cutout blazer.
Wow.
So,
Zara is a place that you go into and you'll think, hey, that's a cool jacket. That's not bad. And then in the center of the room, there'll be a variety of gold, almost Sergeant Pepper jackets. And I think, who would buy those? I might know now, but I, you know, and I shopped for clothes with him there once. Yeah.
You went to Zara with him?
Yes, I did. Yes,
did
I did.
Listen, I have no issue with like Brock wearing heels. I think it's funny, but I don't have a problem with it. Like, and you know, if it's just specifically like Brock wearing heels in the after show,
yeah.
in a way it's like tippy tappy or whatever. But I don't, whatever, like Tom, if Tom wants to wear like a women's blazer, like fine. But all I think of is Michael Scott being like, nah, this is my norm. I don't know. There's a scene in The Office where like, they're like, that's a women's jacket. And he's like, no,
yeah.
No.
Oh yeah, and it's not fitting him right either, right?
Yeah, like because it's cut differently, which apparently I didn't even know. Literally the office taught me that. Like I guess the back of a men's like coat jacket is split in the middle and the women's is split like this. I don't know.
Yes, but yeah, split around the side or something.
Yeah, Daryl was like, "That's a lady's jacket." That's a lady's jacket. And he's like, Anyway, so that's all I think of now, but whatever. Well, you know, more power to him. It's just like, it's in combination with everything else that he's doing.
Yes.
Like that hat is so big. I've never seen, he's not a known outfit repeater. You know what I'm saying? So
that's
all
true.
Of a sudden he's only wearing this aloe hat over and over. Like that's out of character for him. What?
This is the hat that is obscuring his eyes during the James confrontation. Yeah. When James says, "Why don't you say that to my face?" I'm wondering if he actually did say it to his face. I mean, maybe literally, but it doesn't appear that his face, like his eyes are not making eye contact. So I don't know what the jury would say.
Well, it's Tom's favorite way of saying something about someone, which is like, to nowhere into the air. James was walking away and he's like, "Yeah, go push some buttons on your laptop." Like, and it's the same. I mean, yeah, you pulled your IUD out the same day Stassi said she was pregnant. And oh, yeah, she was wearing a t-shirt. Like his most vulgar, offensive things, he just like says to nowhere. And so,
into his body mic. He says it into his body mic. He's like,
"Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I didn't even think of that."
I just thought of it now.
You know Dana Wilkie? Did you know 25,000?
Wait.
Did you know?
Wait. The one she was on Housewives? Yeah, the 25,000 sunglasses. Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts. So she was a particular point of interest for me and my mom, who got me hooked into the Bravoverse. because she's what town? I can't remember what town she's from, but she's from where?
Oh, I don't know. She was on Beverly Hills for like a season.
Yeah,
but
and she's from Massachusetts.
She doesn't have anything to do with this. It's just she's brought it to my attention.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Which is, she was making this observation about like from the after the beach day. You know how men, like, I don't know why they don't have it on this way on everybody. The women, they make wear mic packs in like bikinis, and then the men get like a necklace, like a black necklace for their microphone.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
It's like a black, it just looks like a black like braided rope necklace with like a circle on it, and it's
right
the mic.
Okay, yeah.
And she was like, "No, but these were made of hair." And I was like, "What? I think it's just their microphone." And then I went back and she was like, "No, they're wearing it in some scenes and other scenes are not wearing it, and like I have worked on shows and that does not look like her microphone." And I went back and looked, and it does look, the texture is weird, and I don't know if he's wearing hair necklaces, but that's another theory out there. I just thought you should know.
I think, you know, and I appreciate that. Yes, it is further enriching my mind and my life and my spiritual state. I did notice that, I agree with you completely. The context makes everything in terms of goofing on an outfit, because it's really in concert with everything, much like Sheena's crop top wedding dress back in the day. Mm-hmm. Sandoval talking about it
God
in the New
bless
York Times
Aunt
article.
D. Homemade Aunt D.
Oh, yeah. See, that's right. Homemade. It wasn't from Zara. By the way, he gave me a jacket that I wore prominently for a long time that was from Zara.
I have a lot of clothes from Zara. I mean, they make cute clothes. Like, what do you, I mean, no hate. It's just funny.
It's super funny. It's super, especially going through the catalog, because as you said, he's not an outfit repeater. So he tends to buy a season worth of stuff. Huh? I mean, he's not really a hair repeater either. Most of the time.
I mean, I didn't even realize that till I said it to you, which was like, he's wearing this hat constantly. And like, he would never, I can't imagine any prior season him just like always wearing the same hat. Like, remember when Schwartz's brothers, when the triplets, not for the wedding, but it was a different time when they came to visit. And I'll never forget this scene because it just made me feel like so like cringe. Well, just because like I can see what he was performing for the camera, which was that they were walking like down some alley or sidewalk or something in Hollywood, and Sandoval said to them like, "Welcome to Hollywood," and I was like, "Oh, be quiet." But for that trip, he bought them like new underwear and shoes and pants and like seven different hats and all this stuff where it's like, sir, in what world are you wearing this aloe hat over and over? I just can't see it. And I live near an aloe, and I was running an errand the other day, and I was like, I've never been in there. I don't even know really what they sell. I don't even know what brand aloe is. Yoga stuff, like athleisure, I think. So, no offense. It's just not, I don't know. And I walked by it, and I just like was posting on Instagram, like, you guys, should I go in and like get a like white hat and try to be an influencer?
Well, I don't know if you, Christina, quite honestly, if you bought a replica hat, you might run into some of the difficulties that I have in the last couple weeks.
A replica hat. Like what?
Well, you know, the joking around with the Charles McMansion shirt got me, I think that was the final straw, got me unfollowed by lovely Ariana, really? Who I'm still Team Ariana, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you told me that last time, the time that a ghost to the audience, but I remember
yes,
you.
Yeah,
I
yeah, exactly, like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, I mean, look, I went through the evidence later. I'm wearing his, not just a Tom Tom shirt with the sparkles that matches the sweatshirt, the infamous Rocky sweatshirt. It's actually his from Pride. So there's that. Then there's the photo at the fashion show. With me, Schwartz, the Sophia, and Victoria. So I think it, and then the bulletin from Jax's. So I think all of that gave the impression, which I understand. I was the Ariana in a similar situation, which she knows about, she was aware of, and they were all front row center for it. So
yeah.
If I had seen a similar photo of that sort of thing, maybe I'd kind of have an issue too. So, hey.
You know, but I will say the Tom Tom Pride merch, man, that was cute. Like, that was, if I had access to that glitter rainbow, like, that was cute. That was a cute whatever. I never looked up. I'm wearing band merch right now. Just live in merch for everything.
Oh, no, I don't do that at all. It's a Phantom of the Paradise shirt.
Yeah, I just love, I don't know. Well, also, PSA, like, if you go see bands and whatever, like, merch is, like, one of the best ways to directly support them.
Yeah.
Because
sometimes it's tax-free, by the way.
Oh. Well, anyway.
No, it is. Whitesnake, at the height of their popularity, this is told to me by Tony Katane, rest in peace. They were making, David Coverdale, because everyone else was hired hands,
right,
making $500,000 a week in untaxed, untraceable income.
Oh, you mean, okay, tax-free for them.
Yeah, because the merch.
I think it's tax-free. Yeah.
If they paid by cash, anyway.
Whatever works for them. Yeah. Anyway, all I was saying that is to preface that I've never looked up any like Tom Tom merch or whatever. But, and I was telling you earlier, like, I've almost bought some stuff that I thought was really cute with a lightning bolt on it recently. And I was like, can't do that. I don't think I can do that.
I know. I've had to reform my text habits. I like to use a lightning bolt instead of an exclamation or whatever. And I have to, for any Vanderpump related stuff now, use the swoopy star, because I didn't even realize that. I messaged someone and they said, oh, you know, that has some evil origins. And I was like, oh, I didn't know that. Totally not connecting to the thing that we talk about every week. But, you know.
Don't get me started on people thinking things are evil. I have a whole... Well, it's like about this guy who was like Taylor Swift's a witch. And then I decided that is like the easiest way to figure out if like you should or should not keep seeing someone. If you just ask, you ask smash or pass Taylor Swift, which I would never support relegating her to being objectified that way. But if you ask that question and their answer is pass and you say why, it comes out. All their demons come out. He was like, well, first of all, she's a witch. And I was like, oh, really? You think she's a witch? And then after that, it just went absolutely insane. He was talking about Trump. He was talking about devil, Satan, Sam's MTV. God. Like, it really unraveled quickly. But I was like, you know, actually... One of the times I saw Ariana in Chicago, the final show, I think, There was somebody outside who recognized me because she followed me, and she was like, ah, she was there with her boyfriend. She was like, I asked him, I saw your Taylor Swift video, and I asked him smash or pass, but he said smash, and I was like, yeah, good for you, man. You passed the test.
Anyway, if it's a pass, it has to be for like a legitimate reason, like something like I just don't like blondes or something like something like that. Like, you know,
there's a million reasons. Like, oh, she's just not my type, or I'm too much older than her. I'm too much older than her. She's too young for me. Totally fine. But she's a witch, or she's evil.
That's a great litmus test for, especially for a first date. Hopefully, if you're on the fourth or fifth, you know, maybe you don't want to know. I also would say, kind of objectively, smash would be the right answer.
Well, yeah. I mean, it just, anyway, I digress.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So do I. That's why we're going to be on here for 5 hours today. Oh, so no. Speaking of outfits, something very interesting about the repeat outfit, it commingles with something I noted, that it seems that when the floral shirts come out, so does Bad Sandoval.
Oh my God. When he walked in to, I mean, he was wearing it, I guess, at the restaurant also, but I specifically noticed it when he walked into James's house.
Yeah.
He looked like Aviva Drescher's father, and I know you don't watch Housewives. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about, but
I know who Aviva is, but I don't know the father.
Oh my God. Aviva's dad is like the worst person to ever come on Bravo. He's like this really tan, leathery, like sexually inappropriate old man, like who would just like say the most inappropriate, gross, disgusting things to the other housewives, like, and like stick his tongue out, and like it was just, he's awful. And I was trying to find a picture of him to like compare them, like corporate wants you to see the difference between these pictures, they're the same picture, but I couldn't find him in like I've seen him on the show in like a Hawaiian shirt, but I couldn't find one. So I haven't posted it yet, but maybe I will. He's just like the grossest old man. No offense. No offense.
We don't say anything.
But he looked just like, well, I was like, why is Aviva's dad at this party? Like, what are you wearing?
There was a preview for like, so there's a kerfuffle happening coming up. But I also just sort of saw the florals, and not on Schwartz. That's fine. He's still going to be Schwartz. But I thought, uh-oh, here we go. Because there were also, that floral shirt was also paired with those sort of taupe pants.
The white pants. They were like white wide leg.
Okay,
pants.
They're white.
Labor Day. What are you doing? Like, what are you? It doesn't matter when it is. Like, what are you doing? Like, and they're baggy, and then he has the shoes. I wear weird stuff all the time. I think it's just with him, it's like, just nothing feels authentic anymore, you know?
I used to wear quite a bit of floral shirts. I'm going to get some more, but I needed to change out the thing. But I still like them, and still like wearing them open collar. But there's a bit of a taint on them. Not quite as much as white nails, but I never wore those. Folks, I just want to show for the record, for the judge that I want to have replaced on this case, because I think that there's a prejudice. Have you read about this?
No, but here's Aviva Drescher's father.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah.
He's so just like some old man. Like, just like it's not focusing, but whatever.
Oh, he's kind of like leathery. Like, yeah.
Yeah, he's very tan and... you know, Miami, whatever. Anyway, go ahead. The judge. Oh, you're not going to talk about Harvey, are you?
No, God, no. No, 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 no. Something much worse.
His last name, because it's like, I don't know.
No. You're talking about that imaginary rabbit that Jimmy Stewart dealt with in that movie from the 40s. And people could imagine that it is real. Look it up. Just Google Harvey movie, Jimmy Stewart. So, no, the judge in the Rachel Sues, Ariana Anton case.
Yeah.
His lawyer wants the judge replaced because of prejudice, and no one can figure out yet what that is. Who knows? Who knows? But I liked what Kyle Chan said about all this on Kristen and Luke's podcast, where he basically just ripped into Rachel and said, listen, whatever dollars you get from this, the karma of you suing Ariana, the person you did all this to, is so bad. You're going to bring so much bad onto yourself. And yeah, I like that. I like that, Kyle Chan.
Yeah, I mean, and Kyle Chan, up until pretty much that point, has for anyone who doesn't know him, I mean, I don't know him, but just the perception of him pretty much up until that point was like, you're just a Sandoval, like, you know, sympathizer and apologist and whatever. Because he's like the only one except for Jason, the drummer, and Billy Lee, who's like his friend who's on the show, like in support of him. And he's been on a bunch of his podcasts and stuff. But like when he said, when he spoke to Kristen on that podcast, like a lot of the stuff he said, I was like, that man's making sense. Like, and he, I think he just, even when, okay, he was on Tom Sandoval's first, like, Everybody Loves Tom podcast episode. He was like the first guest.
Yeah.
And even then he was like, you know, he was there in support of Tom. But the things he was saying were pretty, like, even keeled. He was like, well, you know, you do this and you feel this and they need to do what's right for them. And blah, blah, blah. So he's always been pretty, like, you know, reasonable. But yeah. I just, the stuff he was saying on there, which I don't have in front of me, but it was extra reasonable. It was like, I don't, has he said any of that to Tom? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. See, I haven't really listened to a lot of Sandoval's podcast, but.
We've already talked about Vanderpod recaps. I just read them there and then I.
Oh, yes. Shout out to Vanderpod recaps. Because I do listen to Kristen's podcast. So I forget sometimes if I read it or if I listened to it. Because that's one I listen to, but not every episode. You know, sometimes it's just too much, as we discussed in that episode that no one will ever hear. The redacted. We'll say the redacted episode, because apparently. In line with that, Rachel's recent podcast had some parts removed before broadcast because they were too touchy about certain allegations she may or may not be making against someone that may or may not be on the show.
I have a hard time with that, only because, well, not only because, I mean, again, like I worked in news for a long time. You know, there's a long list of protocols that you have to follow, and anybody's accused of anything.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the number one thing usually that you need to get at the end of the day is like somebody directly saying something about someone by name, and nobody's will do that. And, or in a specific way. And so I'm just, all I will do about that subject is explain where I'm coming from with it and all the things that I consider. And then, like, that's all I can say.
No, I mean, that's more than legitimate. I mean, that's, again, it's coming from the news reportage precepts and ethics that you so wonderfully exemplify in the work that you do, the Lord's work. But, I'm with you, because also, like, it's similar to when Lala says, well, I got something I could say, but you wouldn't like it and all. Because when people do a lot of huffing and puffing about what they might be saying at some point, they kind of, it's kind of like the thing, hey, coming up soon, big announcement.
It's like every edit of every trailer of every Bravo show is like, still to come on this season. And it's like the craziest stuff you've ever seen, but it's just edited out of context or whatever. Like, I just can't, I'm not about that. But I understand why. I mean, understand why. I understand why networks do that.
I hate it. I hate it.
Like in the mid-season trailer for Vanderpump, example, they have these scenes. There's one in particular where Sheena, in this preview, is telling Brock, like, you're not my forever, or something like that. And I'm like, there's no way that she says that to is like she's either quoting somebody or she's speaking in a hypothetical or something. And it looked like it was in the scene that we saw this week where they were at that weirdo restaurant.
Barton G. Yeah, it's a 10-minute walk from here.
Yeah, like where they make, I just remember it from Roni. Like there was a, on Housewives of New York when like Bethany was like losing her shit at Luann and was like, life is not a cabaret. Like that big, big fight. That is the restaurant they were at because they ordered lobster Pop-Tarts and they came in like an entire toaster oven that was like the size of their head. Anyway, so then I was like, what place is that? And I go, Bartong? Bartong? I had to look it up. And I was like, oh, Barton G, you idiot. Anyway.
Well, Bartong would make sense. You're in New York. That's like a very New York kind of, yeah.
No, I mean, no, I for the life of me, I couldn't remember the name of it. And then I was like, Bartong. And then I Googled it. And I was like, oh, yeah, Barton G. Now it's all making sense. But anyway, in that mid-season trailer and that scene, it looked like that's where they were. Yeah. And then it didn't air. And there's a lot of stuff that's in trailers that doesn't air. But I don't know what that's about. I still don't believe that she, like in earnest, was saying that to him about her own thoughts. But I don't know.
No, I don't think so either. I'm with you. I think it's something that was taken out of context just to add some spice. But meanwhile, the funny thing about the trailers, we're going to be watching the show. We're watching the show and then watching the show again and then taping shows about the show. So this
And then
is...
I'm going in scene by scene hitting pause to see if it's a Red Bull can or not.
Like, we're watching it like it's the Zapruder film. You know what I mean? We don't need any more encouragement to keep watching the show. I spoke to someone I know in Iceland today who said, oh, my friend in LA, they sent me a picture from me at the Jax's wedding. Actually, thankfully, memorializing a black and white floral print that I had that as soon as I returned to New York, where I was staying at the time, promptly blew the armpit out. You know that when that happens and you go, this thing's fucked. I think it was from Zara. No, H&M. One of the two. Anyway, so it's a great shot.
Checks
and they said,
out.
Oh, they were like, I just got into the show. My friend got me hooked on it and I'm binge watching and look who popped up. And I was like, yeah, well, you know, and I told her the deal. But what was I going to say? I completely forgot. We were talking
misleading
about
misleading edits and you don't need encouragement to watch a show because we're going to be watching it.
Because she's binging it. She's new to it. She's she's on season 8 already. You know, and I'm sure you have lots of friends who weren't watching the show or poo-pooed it when you suggested it to them. And then Scandoval happens and suddenly they're like new experts.
And I'm like, hold on. Or I mean, it's basically just what everybody yells at other people about on Reddit when they're like the subject line of the post will be like, Ariana's mean. And then you see in the text, it'll be like, first time watcher here. I'm only on season 3. And you're like, babe, not here.
This is not, or like not here. Like make another group, be like first timers club. And by the way, with that, I'd like to add that I'm so in favor of people discovering anything at any time.
Yeah.
But the confident things, people actually said stuff to me and I was like, no, actually that's not true. Well, no. And I said, like no, I was there or like, you know, like some version of that. Like, no, that is not true. It did not happen. Like that kind of thing.
It's very I think we talked about this last time in the
the redacted forbidden episode.
Redacted. But I was talking about, I said something to Alex Baskin and like the reason he triggers me because watching him speak, like it takes me back to like men in corporate media companies or whatever. They all look like him and talk like him. Whatever. Not all of them, just whatever. I just get triggered by him. And you know, there's this phenomenon where a woman, you don't strike me as this kind of person to do this. So I'm gonna
Thank you very much. Because I certainly can't defend the folks that you're talking about.
Well, no,
I have
just
a feeling
like,
about what you're going to say, and please
we
continue.
It'll literally just be like, I'll say something. Okay, I remember, I mean, I can give you specifics, but I don't, like, I'll say something that I've watched and paid attention to and know and studied, right? And then the straight white man in my story will be like, oh, well, here's what I think, but I haven't watched any of it. And I'll be like,
oh,
well, okay.
God.
And then they'll be like, well, but what about da-da-da, and here's why you're wrong. I'm like, you asked me my opinion, knowing, like, the reason that you asked for my opinion is because I'm informed. And then you press, this literally happened to me. This isn't a hypothetical. It was a guy
No,
that
no.
I was like,
it had the ring of truth from the moment you started saying, I hate when.
Oh, and it was about the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial. And I had been watching every single day in court. I was watching all of it and he didn't watch any of it. And he was like, so what are your thoughts on da da da? And I was like, well, X, Y, Z. And he was like, and I was like, okay, but you just asked me. And he's like, nah. I'm like, I don't know. What do you want? Like,
the
so,
impossible trap.
Listen, no, we really, I shouldn't talk to you anymore in a recorded format because we're just going to go all in all the directions. I mean, hopefully people like it. That's fine.
Well, I hope so too. Well, I mean, look, you know, people love your stories and stuff and my content and your content together. It's like a Reese's or something. Two great tastes that go great together. That's what I think.
Or Pringles.
Yes. That's right. You can't have just one, right?
The fun don't stop.
I need to ask you, so in the top of my notes, I made little scattershot notes. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, they're the typed equivalent of when you're just writing down, you know, at corporate meetings, for instance, where they go, well, you know, you're going to want to take notes on this, which never works for me. It then is it's a whole performance of everyone going, I'm taking notes, assiduously taking notes, so they can go, you're taking notes. That's good, because I told you to. That's all that is. It never helps anyone. It will, if it's so important, give us a fucking PDF. But
there's a lot of, performing it.
Performing it. Everything is theta. All the world is a stage. But what I want to know about what's on the stage is because I wrote this note down. I don't know what it means anymore. And I didn't have time to check the first 5 minutes of the episode. I wrote, first off, the Season of Love Tour. Is that the most extras tour? What is the Season of Love Tour?
Oh, I don't see. I didn't even. I guess I heard it and I was like, what? But I didn't clock it closely. And I say what, like in his voice, like what?
What?
But yeah. I went, okay.
Yeah, nice one, like Season of Love, like you're not even watching the show.
I go to all of these people's things, okay? For the culture. I do it for the people, okay? If I have to suffer, you have to suffer.
Yes.
And if I'm happy, I want you to also have joy from my happiness. Like, it goes both ways. So I went to go see Chicago. I'm here to report back because it's illegal to take video in there, but I would if I could. But last year, I went to one of Sandoval's shows and it was like right after the stuff, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I live streamed the entire thing. Like, I just went to be like, let's just go. But I'm not there being like, Teddy Mariana, fuck you. Like, I would never do that. I would never like go up to these people's faces and like fuck up their livelihood or whatever.
Yeah.
So I went just to like, you know, document whatever. And it was a shit. It was one of the, it was one of the most uncomfortable concerts I've ever been to. He was singing Sex on Fire by Kings of Leon shirtless, laying down on the stage, like midway through the show where it was like, are you still, there has to be like sticky glue, like substances on the stage by then. Like, what do you do? And then he was like rapping Outkast, like the hardest to
rap. No. He,
Bombs what? Over Baghdad.
No,
he was like,
no,
like the fastest song. It was a fucking disaster, dude. And he had not even maybe to him it was successful. He has an iPad right next to his microphone stand that clearly he's reading lyrics off of. Like when he forgets one randomly, he'll go over to. I mean, it was. I still have the video. And then one of the bartenders at the place didn't know. Like, he didn't know the lore. Like,
yeah.
And we were like, do you know why people are here? Like, do you know who he is? And his name was Samuel. And I went with these two sisters who run an Instagram account called Countess Kush. Uh-huh. And so they met me there. But anyway, so the Countess Kush sisters follow them. So we were just like talking to this bartender, Samuel, and we were like, you don't know any, you don't know what Scandoval is. So we told him. And he was like, for 7 months after 9 years, that's disgusting. And then he goes, And his band isn't even good. And I was like, yeah, Samuel. And then there's one video I took where Sandoval was just like taking a breath. I think he was about to try to start singing Queen or something, or Journey. But his hair looked like his hair, all I can think of is Biodome. Like, it just was like, you know what I'm saying? The movie, yeah. It just was like, and he just looked nuts. And I have all these, I should reshare them.
Yes.
But am I talking about this? I literally forgot why I started talking about this. I'll go to these events to like support these people, whatever. So I went to one of his seasonal love tour. Yes, thank you. So I don't remember if it was called that, but I do remember that it absolutely was not sold out, and they kept saying that it was sold out. And when I walked in, like, the floor was crowded, but
yeah,
there's seats in that theater, and I've been there more than one time, and I know what it looks like when it's sold out, because all the floor is full and all the seats are taken.
Yeah.
Because it's like a half theater.
Because that's what it means when it's sold out.
There's no more seats.
There's just no more people they can get in there.
And it looked like a movie matinee. it was not sold out. But it was weird because the venue was also saying it was sold out. So then I was like, everybody's in on this. Now I don't trust anybody. But yeah, I don't know what the Season of Love thing, maybe that's his next tour.
Maybe it is, because I might have been on Instagram right before turning the show on, because all the rest of the little scrap notes I have make sense. And so with that, let's get into the recent episode, even though this is all fabulous content. And of course, this is not coming out the day after the episode, but you know, we're getting back into the swing of things with the schedule on the Pump Rules podcast. Lots of exciting things to come in the off season, if you will. Yeah, it's going to continue all summer long. And then, you know, when the next season comes.
When the next season of love starts.
Well, you know, it's always the season of love on Pump Rules podcast. But a question before we begin, even though I know I'm tempting my fate with myself for derailing us, but do you think Ariana's going to come back? Because I saw something about at the book talk that someone asked, and she said, well, I'll have to think about what would be best for my... And now I forget the rest of the line, but you know what I'm referring to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At the LA Times Festival of Books. And I remember the interviewer, because I was like, I was recapping it or whatever, and there's a whole Spice Girls thing. And anyway,
Was it available to watch, or is it online?
No, I found videos from people who went. Like, I was like really looking for them. There's not like journalists. Yeah.
One small thing that before I forget, the thing that you were saying about going and doing the boots on the ground reportage, I feel the same way. I'm going, I'm not saying this or that, or when, if I do, maybe later, but right now I am just reporting, like with Jeremy, hey, what's going on? I just saw something. That's it. You know what I mean? And the reporting stuff too, even like Brock's thing, I paired it with the context I wanted to mention. It's not the outfit. It was that we'd just been seeing him tell women how to behave and what to say. And I said, sir, you cannot do that. And then, or you can't wear this and that, do that. You have to pick one or the other. That's my feeling.
I mean, I will say, at least in this most recent after show, which I need to watch again, it takes me a couple viewings of the after show to like absorb. But I do recall that Brock addressed his full outfit, and he was like, I mean, I have this lace top and then this tank top, and I bought it from here, like, and he like talked about his outfit, which I need to go back and rewatch it, but anyway.
I have to as well. I had the same thing. It was on and I was like, I think I need to set up for
something. I was he's talking about his outfit, and then like, I know I'll come back to it. But
yeah, I was like, I have an appointment. I have to put the dishes out. Oh, well, I'll turn it up. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Knowing I'll rewatch it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, it'll 8 times. But the Festival of Books was the interviewer asked her something like, does being on Vanderpump Rules benefit you anymore?
Yeah.
And then, you know, that I don't remember if she specifically said, you know, like, what about if they're season 12 or whatever? But I think
you're right. That's like, exactly. That's how they phrased the question.
Yeah. And she just was like, Ariana's answer was sort of, you know, if it makes sense for me, I mean, long story, TLDR, like if it makes sense for me at the time and it's what's good for me at the time, then I'll make that decision at the time, kind of thing. Which, and my sort of way of, because I made a video like sort of summarizing whatever I had access to from that day, because there wasn't a lot of video from it, was just like, who in their right mind would say, yeah, I'm not coming back. No, it's not good for me anymore. Nobody on any of these shows would ever say that. And again,
No.
she is always consistently excellent in these interviews. Like, she knows, I don't know if she had training or if she's just like that composed and smart in terms of, I know she's obviously composed and smart, like, but I mean specifically with like baiting questions,
Yeah.
she always answers them in a way that does not like reflect poorly on her or trap her into or put her in a corner or put her against a wall or whatever the saying. Doesn't put baby in a corner ever. And so
I was just thinking, I was like, when is a good time to interject there? Thank you for
yeah.
doing it
So,
for me. Yeah.
my favorite movie. But yeah, but she's, you know, again, I don't know if she was like, I don't want to say, I don't want to say coached, because that's a
No, I
thing.
don't think it's coached. You want to
No,
know what I
not
think?
coached by a media professional, but I also think she just like has more common sense than other people. She's like, I'm a professional. I'm
Yeah.
on this show. And even if I don't want to be on the show, I'm not going to say into a microphone on a public platform, I don't want to be on this show. It's great income. It's great
Yeah.
exposure. Like, so I think there, especially with her new house now that she has, I think
Yes.
that there is a world where she would be able to navigate being on the show without having to deal with Tom directly as much. Like, and there's so, I would love to see more about her life and her new opportunities and her adjusting to all of that attention. So I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are like, I hope this is her last season. And there was a
I don't
point,
understand.
there was a point, a small point in time where I was like, yeah,
I
me too.
I
But I changed my mind the next day.
Well, there was one
Well,
there go
I'll
ahead.
go
No,
ahead, go
you.
ahead.
Well, there
It
was
just
one
was
go you go ahead. You go ahead. That's what I'm going to call the episode. You go
it,
ahead.
okay. It only was because of, I think, just the awkward dynamics for portions of this season that were like, where do you even go from here? But as it's, that was like when the first couple episodes were on and they were, you know, no, they were saying things like, well, Ariana's so successful, but they wouldn't say what the they were talking about.
Yeah,
And then
yeah, yeah.
finally, you know, for example, Dancing with the Stars, I was like, why the fuck don't they just say she's on Dancing with the Stars? And so then obviously we all know Dancing with the Stars is a very important plot point, but you know, so now they're like saying, they're saying these podcasts and Dancing with the Stars and da da da, like, because before in the first couple episodes I was like, y'all are gonna have to talk about stuff that's not on this show or else it's not gonna make
Yeah.
any sense. So now that they've done that, I think there's much more like reasonable, it's easier to imagine a path forward, I guess, if they keep doing that.
Agreed, because the only thing that would keep them from doing that is to try to creep back behind the fourth wall, which thankfully was grounded to dust. And I remember thinking, and I've said this a million times, probably since back season three or season four, even then I was like, they got to stop pretending that they work at this
Well,
fucking
because
restaurant.
it's right. It's like, okay, then they all start moving. Now Sheena's working at the restaurant still. Are you kidding me? Like,
I
she's
mean,
the only one.
ridiculous. Yeah. And now, but th with that, there was a touch in this episode of feeling like the producers were desperately trying to pull everyone back behind the fourth wall and then spackle it together somehow. Because Jax, ex-Sir employee, yes, very funny. Very funny, but do we need to see that lower third card again later on? Which, of course, I always have to mention Kristen Doty, Tom's ex-girlfriend or whatever it was during Scandoval episode. As I posted, the
Is that
least
what it
needed
said? Is
some
that what
Tom's
it said?
ex-girlfriend. Yeah, at
Oh.
least the least necessary lower third card of all time.
Well, and go ahead.
No, I mean maybe because of new people watching, but whatever, fuck them. But okay, so the main thing is the card is funny. The ex, right, exactly. The exer employee is funny, but here's what's not cute. Here's not what's cute. But so then the premise is that Jax wants to be at Sir. Jax wants to do this brunch, and also Lisa doesn't know anything about it.
That was insane. Like that was like, I had no idea you were coming. Like, why are you even here talking to me? I'm like, because it was scheduled. Because it was scheduled, Lisa. Like, what? Do you think we're 12? Like, I don't understand some of these things. And also, I don't know if you know, if you remember, I don't know if you know about this. by the way, Taylor, she's a witch.
Do you know that, she's a witch? Yeah, and like, she actually has Jack Antonoff like under a spell. Yeah, did you know
Now,
that's just an impression. See, that's in the same category as me wearing a Charles McMansion shirt, because it's deliberately, because it's deliberate disrespect while I'm wearing his shirt talking shit about him. So anyway.
Well, all I was going to say is that in the Vanderpump Valley crossover night event, for whatever reason, they completely delete, let me be more specific. Bravo removed several minutes of the actual crossover when they put it on Peacock and streaming and the Bravo app and whatever the next day. So unless you caught it live, which I did, and I recorded it and I posted it, because I was like, what happened just now? When I looked at it the next day, they took it all out, and it was very, you know, fourth wall breaking. It was like, Jack,
it was
saying,
extremely, yeah,
I was fired, you know, I had the best job in my life on Vanderpump Rules, and it showed him in front of a green screen walking over to a thing. Like, it was very compelling television, and for them to cut it out, it was like, what? And then it cuts from him yelling at Tom to Kristen Doty being like, the concrete jungle of Los Angeles.
Wait, so they even kept it so it flows one into the next, but they removed that? That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of.
It didn't flow. It was like the end of the Vanderpump episode was like Jack screaming at Tom.
Yeah.
And then it was over. And then the first Valley episode was just that narration.
Oh, the next thing
Kristen.
On the...
wasn't any like rollover. But they kept that with, like, because I remember going back to watch when it was called Summer House Rules, when they did the Vanderpump into Summer House thing. Like, that's like a 70-minute episode, because they left the whole thing in there. So I don't... weird.
No, it's super weird. It's super weird. And also, now, you know, it's funny because I was there the night that Jax had the outburst that then precluded his scheduled appearance on this show. But more news about that.
Oh, the brunch? The canceled brunch thing?
No. When he made the outburst that was all over social media at Jax's Studio City.
Oh. It's scripted. Shows. Yeah, that one.
I mean, he was pissed off about something. He won't specify what, but... I'm not saying anything about scripted, but like, that was heavily processed. That cheese was heavily processed. There was no need for it. All they had to say was, hey, Jax is hosting a brunch with me. That's it. Mm-hmm. And then have Lisa be like, you know, we haven't seen each other. And Jax saying, you know, you didn't even check in on us when the baby.
Yeah.
That's fine. That would have been fine. We don't need the other bullshit.
Yeah. I honestly, at that point, I think Lisa was like, Jax wasn't even the one who was like trying to pretend that he wasn't on a show. Like, it was Lisa's just like out of touch with the time. I'm sorry. No, sounds ageist, but she's like, she literally can't. It was just weird, but they still chose to edit that and air it and cut it and put it in the final thing. And, you know, so it's like, at the end, it's not all just like, oh, well, Lisa said this and it was weird. There's like a million paths, you know, there's a million of checkpoints that it goes through to get approved. So it's like, what do y'all, I mean, and that's like my biggest beef really with anything, with Bravo, with Bethany interviewing Raquel, with, don't miss the last 5 minutes of the reunion because you'll never guess. And like those things are, that's my biggest beef is like, the audience isn't dumb. Stop it. Stop it. Yeah. Get some help.
Also, if they looked at like trends on YouTube with like 3.5 hour shows and people in the millions watching them, guys, they're folks. It's probably guys. It's got to be guys. Calm down. Your expert opinions on how to retain the audience, they might just be a bunch of bullshit.
Than you.
Well, it also, but if the experts say this is how it's going and then the show is doing really well, then I guess the experts know what they're talking about. If they stop all that shit, it wouldn't affect, it would only improve the show, as a matter of fact. So, but then we go back to the episode. And what was the, but now I have to mention, because you mentioned it, tuned for the last 5 minutes. No shit. We're going to probably be there, you fucking assholes.
That's how I feel about I mean, they didn't do it this time, but there was a lot of, Bravo loves it to be continued. And I'm like,
yes.
I'm like, yeah, that's how franchise shows work. That's how series shows work. We know it'll be continued. We know it'll be continued. What the fuck? And also, they'll be like, I mean, I don't know. There was a point in time where it's like every episode was like to be continued. And there's no preview. I think I just spit on my microphone. I'm so excited. And then the next day, here's the first 7 minutes of the next episode. I'm like, what? What are y'all doing? I don't understand. Listen, I'll take it, but like what?
I don't understand that at all. And I wrestle with that too, because I think I don't want it spoiled. I want to sit there. I want to watch the show and however it's formatted and whatever they choose to open the show with. I have to say this season, it's very interesting because I think I talked with Lauren. Oh, Lauren Sensor, love, by the way. I talked with Lauren about how James and Allie are kind of, Allie.
Lauren?
What's that? Ether Opal. Yes,
Ether
indeed.
Opal. Yeah.
Yeah. So Lauren sends her love. Ether does not. No, that's not true. That's not true. No, she's going to unfollow
me. Sorry, I've been looking at you, and then every now and then I like
how can you
see
not?
That?
I understand. I don't take it as a sign of disrespect. It's a great backdrop. You know, it's a good backdrop to have.
No, like I'm saying, like, I'm not looking at it constantly. And then every now and then I look back and I'm like, oh.
What's the thing about TV is they'll just pull your eyes.
go ahead.
What was I saying? I can't even remember.
Lauren and.
Oh, yes, yes. So Lauren and I were talking about, now I forgot what we were talking about. So that's okay. But she sends her love. That's
previews
what matters.
And the 7 minutes and the to be continued. And
well, I'll
I don't
just throw in with the
okay.
To be continued is one of my least favorite things because it's always, oh, so you're going to show like the tail end where nothing happens of this pool party or the pizza party where the big combustion already happened. And now they're going to be like, hey, should we clear up the plates in the first minute of the episode? I know what I was going to talk about. I know what it is. We were talking about how Allie is now basically the narrator of the show. And I love it. She's the Greek chorus and the narrator because they start every episode properly start. First, we have to see everyone brushing their teeth, you know, feeding the dog, watering their plants because we have to know that they you know, they're living their lives and they get up in
the
morning.
They exist.
They exist and they get up and there happens to be a camera crew there when they get up. So there's that. In the bathroom, just in the bathroom.
I think of like the influencers, like, here's my morning routine. And they like wake up. It's like you got out of bed and hit record. Like, no judgment, but just whatever.
Yeah, like chill out. Like, cut out that part. Cut out that part where you're just waking up. Like, we figured you said it's
about
the morning.
We know you woke up. Like, we know you're alive.
No, actually, it's being very meta. This is my morning routine. I hit record on my phone and then reenact waking up.
Just show us. Literally. Anyway.
So, no, look, it's good. We're passionate. We're full of fever and we're doing the Lord's work. So, We do start again at James and Allie's place, but before we get there properly, we see Lala and a friend go into the fake liquor store. Is that what I get from that?
And that was Lala's brother, who his name is Easton, and he is one of the two like co-hosts on her podcast, and that was very weird to me because They didn't. Why did we see that if we
it
never
went paid
back
off.
To it?
No, they like, never paid
did,
off.
Yeah, like why did you show that to us? Why? I don't understand. But yeah, that was her brother, and he's like a very, you know, I don't want to talk about him because he has white boy dreads, and it makes me uncomfortable.
Ah, gotcha. I didn't even retain
it
that.
Wasn't in that episode. It was oh, okay. He didn't have them yet. He had like normal curly hair or whatever. But I just was like, why? See, here's the other thing is that there were pictures and videos over, you know, during filming that came out where she was like really excited that he was getting mic'd up, like Easton's gonna be on the show, that I just randomly remember seeing. And then I was like, is that it?
That's the whole
thing. Was
that
it? Like, what? I mean, I don't know. It just is just, there's just some stuff that I'm like, you guys are not following through. Like, what the fuck was that?
Well, especially if they're so concerned about these the storyline and like making sure people follow. What were we gonna say?
Well, I don't want to go to the non-alcoholic liquor store anyway, so it's fine. I don't want to see them shopping in the non-alcoholic liquor store, so that's fine. But
yeah,
it was
totally
weird
fine.
To point it out, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
Because imagine how interesting it would be to see somebody shopping in a liquor store. That's not entertaining. Nobody.
And also, the only thing that it made me think is, wait a second, I know that there's no alcohol booze, which I think is a weird thing. I'm not a drinker. I used to be. I don't ever want to taste gin.
Right. Why do you? Why? I don't know. I don't.
But the second question there is, how in Los Angeles can a store like that exist and stay open? Because are there that many people, rather, who are buying that much alcohol-free booze?
It's probably like the only place. Well, and the thing, like when they're talking about the finale party with Kyle Chan's whiskey launch.
Yes.
When Tom Sandoval at this point was, well, he never actually used the word sober. He just was not drinking, which I clocked because people would say, how long have you been sober? And his response would be, well, I haven't drank in X months. Like he never called himself sober. And then he went on the
Vial
two
files.
Teas in a,
oh, well, sorry.
First, he went on two teas in a pod, and they said, like, do you plan on, like, being sober for the rest of your life? He was like, oh, no, of course not. And then we see in the season, he's like, yeah, I just, you know, I thought me and Rachel could have our first drink together. Like, none of it was ever about trying to actually change as a person or whatever. And then whatever the fuck he was on when he went on Vial Falls, I don't know. But when Kyle Chan was his first guest on his podcast, whenever he did the podcast, Everybody Loves Tom, he was still not drinking at that point, and Kyle Chan had brought a non-alcoholic whiskey. So I don't know. There's just, I mean, if you know that you're not going to see that through, then like, why make it something that people will hold you accountable for? If you already know that you're not going to see it through, I can understand saying like, I'm taking a break, I'm not drinking for a while, but to be like, yeah, I'm not drinking. Like, yeah, take a water. Let's get water shots. Like you don't mean it. And just say you're not drinking. I'll never forget in the back alley of Sir though. Thank God there's at least one scene in the alley of Sir when he brought Sheena, like, oh, I brought you vodka soda because I know you like those. She's like, actually, I'm sober 3 weeks today. And he's like, yeah, I had a feeling you weren't drinking. She's like, yeah, 3 weeks today. Like, yeah, I'm not drinking either. And I'm like, what do you
mean? Everyone was on this sober train. And I like how Schwartz was saying, like, he
oh,
was,
sober
I'm semi-sober curious. I like that a lot. Yeah. But it was sober
but
curious.
I still,
then he became
really
semi-sober.
Semi-sober curious journey, but I really prefer to binge. I really prefer binging. Yeah. I prefer to binge drinking and binge sobriety. So.
Well, yeah, binge sobriety was great. Great, 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 great phrase. And also he said, you know, it's a good thing to like fall apart once in a while. That's a great expression. He's used it many times. We have fallen apart together and it's a good time. However, I also thought it was a little much that he had to like sort of apologize for ordering a drink because he's with two sober people at that.
Did he?
That might be self-imposed, I think. He went to lunch with Lala and James.
The one where Tom Sandoval is talking about the 500 laxative pills.
Yes, that's right, because Sandoval is surprisingly late to that. And did we talk about this? Why was there 500 laxatives in the house to begin with? Who is getting 500?
I think we talked about it in the redacted
podcast. Yes. But the lawyers have cleared it, so you can go ahead.
How is that just sliding through the conversation? Why the fuck do you have 500 laxative pills? Like, what do you, or pills, or 500 laxatives, period, like in a package? Like, why do you have that? Why do you have that much? You would have to like seek out that amount in order to print. That's like wholesale shit. That's not retail level laxative buying. Like, what are you doing? And it's not because you're stopped up. Like, it's because, well, I don't want to speculate about anybody's disordered anything, but
so you're saying that's what comes to mind for you when you hear something about that?
Well, it's like, why? Yeah. Why do you have 500? I looked up, I was like, how many do they actually sell? And I looked up on like Walgreens.com or something like the next day, like bulk laxatives. And it was like 250. So we would have had to buy more. Like that's what I'm saying. Like, you have to seek out that amount.
Yes. And even if you bought two packages of 250, that's why are you bringing 500 into the house? What do you need? What's so desperate? Right? What's going on? Go to a doctor. And also, so the dog ate that. Okay. Like, that's in the context of the whole thing. It's not great, whatever they're talking about. But a dog eating something that is ostensibly digestible or consumable, mm-hmm. rather, not digestible. Okay, that's not as crazy as you buying them.
And it's like, okay, well, the dog isn't like making the decisions about your home and your belongings and your life. Like, you have to supply the dog with the thing and put it in an accessible place, which, and I don't want to talk about the skewers. I'm not getting into the chicken satay. Maya wasn't supposed to be in her room anyway. So it's like, if she closed the door, that's Ariana is essentially like her apartment is her bedroom now at that point. So it's like, fuck, goddamn. Sorry. She left the container there. Whatever. That's not. She shut the door and left knowing that the dog wasn't in there. And so even if the point is negligence. It's not that Tom was like, here, Maya, go eat her takeout, whatever. It's that he didn't even think, like, where is the dog and what's the dog up to and whatever. Like, that's the problem. Anyway, just like the laxatives. Like, why is nobody saying, wait. Literally no one said, at least not in the episode, wait, why do you have that many laxatives?
I know. I'm hoping it comes up on the reunion. Maybe that's what everyone's talking about with breaking the fourth wall.
We've never done this before. We've never talked about human constipation. We have never done this before.
Yeah, and then Sheena makes an admission, and then by the way, I buy fiber gummies. They come in a jar of like, I don't know how many's in there, but it's like 70, 80, I don't know. I accidentally bought two, because on Amazon, sometimes you add to cart and you've already added to cart. And when it showed up, I said, I guess I'm set for a while now. And or it's just karma coming back at me for wearing the Charles McMansion shirt.
I talked about, everybody poops. You should check out the book for kids. Because I talked about this the other day, not you, just the universal you. But I talked about this the other day when I was like, I have grouped the types of tears that Sandoval cries into like four groups.
And or
I
was four like, tears of tears?
Tears of... Oh, I didn't even think of that. God damn it. I used to write puns as like my job. And I didn't even think of that. Oh, hold on. I need to write it down because I'm not going to...
Excellent. Good.
But one of them, the fourth and final tear of tears... is the turtle, where he turtles out a tear. And the reason I say turtling is, well, because it looks like a turtle sticking its head out of the shell, like an actual human turtle. I don't want to talk about Joe slash Kaylee, whatever's turtle.
And you're not talking about Turtle, the character based on Randall Emmett in real life. No, 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 no,
no. No, I'm talking about the, I was about to say the human turtle, but the actual amphibian or reptile, whatever turtle
a
is.
A traditional turtle.
When it sticks its head out of its shell, it's like barely poking out, right?
Yeah.
And there is a bodily function that maybe sometimes 500 laxatives would help, where it's like there's a turtle starting to come out of the shell, and you're like, no, not right now. And
yes.
But it's like, I want to get out. And so when it's Tom like- cries... Yeah. So when Tom like really puts it on, he's like turtling out the tears. And I've always called it like he turtled out a tear. He's turtling it out. It's like his like, it's like his like, this is my moment. Action. Like, and then he like really pushes them out. The other ones are, he does the hand wipe, the hyperventilate, the...
What about this one? Is this part of the hyperventilate when he does this?
No, that's a hand. That's a hand. Oh. Okay. So he has a hand wipe, the hide and seek, the hyperventilate, and the turtle.
The hide and seek.
So he usually combines the hand wipe and the hide and seek, or the hyperventilate and the hide and seek.
Yeah.
Like at Lisa's, he was like, and then he did the hide and seek. The hand wipe, because this is what's so fast. Like he'll be like, when there's nothing on his face, right? But when he's crying, when he'll sit there with like a soaking wet face, not even going, making an attempt to like even pat himself off because he wants you to know he's really crying. But when he's not crying, he wants you to think he's crying. So then he's like wiping. It's the most bizarre thing, but I have examples for all of them. You can watch on my accounts.
Yes, indeed. And I have no doubt, and I'm sure that for the wet face, the wet look that you're talking about, you might possibly have used that interaction with Kristen, season 3 or 4.
Absolutely, I did. Yes. Absolutely. I mean, and that one is like, he's like...
I thought we'd be together forever. Am I quoting that right? Because I haven't seen it in years.
Yeah.
What he says?
He says, there were times, Kristen, where I really thought you and I would be together forever. I did. I really did. I didn't want to do this. It's been really hard for me.
And they're holding hands.
It's been really hard. This is. And then Kristen reaches over to wipe his face, and he recoils, and he's like, he's like,
no, you're screwing
don't
up
touch.
My bit.
Don't touch, because she's like, this is how I know you still love me, which is basically she says in her confessional. But he's like, this has been really hard for me. It really has. I mean it. I want you to be happy, Chris. I really do. I really do. And like, I believe that he is producing tears, but it's just, again, my analysis. Okay,
wait, I have a question. And this is a Phil Donahue angle, you know, from journalism. So then this beggars the question. If that was performative and he got the actor cry in and then flooded the face, how then is he not able to or not choosing to do that in these other tiers of tears?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I think... I don't know. I don't believe that he's incapable of crying. Like, I cry really. Like, sometimes I'll just be in a conversation with somebody and something will make me emotional and I'll be like, and they're like, oh no. I'm like, it's okay. It's just a thing that happens. It'll be over really quick. Like, it's just a thing that happens and it'll go away. Like, I'm not familiar with the actor like really trying to make yourself cry, so I don't know what that feeling is like, but he's not a skilled actor, you know, so sometimes he can do it and sometimes
he's not. He was in a puppet master movie, so watch yourself.
And And he was also in a Peter production where he was some kind of space commander.
And when they were shooting on with the green screen and sunlight.
Yeah.
By the way, YouTubers, I don't recommend that. I just listened. I actually just re-reviewed an old episode of this show when it was around that time of the episode. And I think Ariana and Sandoval were on. And we're talking about that. And I said, did that actually work? I mean, what was that like? And so we talked for 10 minutes about being, I think, hungover and then going to that.
Yeah,
so,
he was like, Commander.
Now, yeah, yes, that's right. Commander. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that was easy to keep. His streak era. His like
streak
gray
era.
Yes. His silver extension. The one silver extension, which.
That's right. That's right.
No one's ever explained.
Well, no, he just wanted to. Okay, there's an episode two of Pump Rules podcast where he came on because after there was the original Pumped and then Pump Rules podcast. Mm-hmm. So then he came on and then he had a friend come over who braided his hair during the episode.
Oh my God. Like JoJo Siwa on Special Forces?
Yeah. I just wish we were shooting video back then. It would have been great.
Oh my God. I don't want to talk about JoJo Siwa. I wish I didn't.
Well, we're going to move on. We're going to move moving along to meeting Daniel on the phone. Very nice. I know it's after, who knows. But then we really get started at James and Allie's house because Jax is coming over to overdub some stuff on James's hot new track.
Listen, you know what? For all the same reasons that like Sheena bugs me, Jax bugs me, there's equal amounts of like, man, you give us TV and we thank you for that.
Oh,
if there's
absolutely.
If there's one thing Sheena Shea and Jax Taylor know how to do, no matter how fucking annoying they are, they are bringing it. They clock in and I appreciate it, even though I don't sometimes.
Well, it's just like how Brock, what I said before, him telling women how to behave and what
Brock's
to do.
Brock's trying to clock in. He's trying to clock in.
He is. And look, I dig that because of what you just said, but I also am annoyed in the moment. So that's great TV. It's like what my mom used to say about Housewives or Vanderpump Rules. I'm just getting so fed up with it. And I go, oh, so you have a new favorite show. You have a new favorite show and you can't wait for the next episode. She's like, what do you mean? I said, that's what you say when it's your favorite show.
I mean, I mean, I remember whenever the first Survivor came out, I remember watching it with my dad and we have like a bond over reality TV and he still will be like, oh, all they do is yell at each other. But then he'll text, like, we will literally, like, he'll get the joke if I say, like, what did I say? There was something I said that was a word that ended in the word I, like, that was pepperoni. And he was like, Giovanni! Like, like, he gets, like, Housewives jokes and Vanderpump, like, and I love that. But he'll still be like, all they do is fight and it's just like too much to watch sometimes. I'm like, but you're gonna fucking watch. You're gonna watch and you know you have it like on your DVR because you still have a DVR, I bet. Like you're gonna watch. Oh, actually, if I like went back two screens, you would see my Peacock profile that I added for him. He's terrific. On my Peacock. He wants to watch it.
He's on, oh, that's great. Yeah, and so this is bizarre. My mom, who was a devout follower of Housewives before I watched it, she said, you should watch the show. And I was like, I don't know. It's like, I thought it was something
you're,
like selling.
Really? Your way into
She's
Bravo?
My gateway. She's my gateway.
Oh, I love that.
And, but here's the weird turnabout. So she was into the show. She was into Vanderpump Rules. When they came to visit me in LA, took him to Villa Blanca. And the thing, Ariana bought my mom a candle. It was like a whole beautiful thing. And it was really
Ariana's
lovely.
Never bought me a candle.
She didn't buy me one. She bought Lydia one. Okay, she bought Lydia a candle.
Okay.
So, anyways, there you go, Ariana. Love you. I know maybe we won't talk again because of the shirt incident. I understand. So,
I swear to God, if she unfollows me because I'm talking to you, I will never speak to you again.
I know. We're gonna have hard, heavy beef. No, I think it's fine.
I think we'll be fine.
Yes, we'll be okay. Because I don't think also she's like, what's Craig's next episode?
Yeah, I don't think she's like paying attention to like what I'm doing.
Well, I think she's paying attention to what you're doing. I have a feeling. But, you know, if you unfollow someone, you don't want to pay attention to what they're doing. So, no, she's...
Really,
the funniest thing is, do you remember when we taped? I said, no, I'm sure she's following you. I went and I looked it up, showed it to the video that doesn't exist. And then I wonder if when I held it up, if I was already unfollowed. That would be very funny. Because when I looked it up, when I found out, I was looking up someone's account who I know she follows. It's like a Vander or something account. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get there because I went, oh, what? And so anyway, but with Brock's thing on Shenanigans, the recent episode, thank you, Vanderpod Recaps, for this. I did not hear it, but I read it.
He talks about, I
can kind of see how that could come across that way. I didn't mean it as such. So I thought, okay, that's a reflective attitude. But back to the Jackson, the overdubbing, I wish they would show that, but I guess they're waiting for a new Pump collection, or what was the name of that? Pump Sessions. The new Pump Sessions album.
Pump Sessions. You haven't asked me once about the album in this reunion. Are you... You haven't asked me once about the album. Anyway.
him and I had a funny like confusion about his album. I'll send you the episode. It's on the feed. But the first time, Sandoval brokered peace between this camp and Kennedy. So Camp Kennedy, or Casa Kennedy. Casa Kennedy.
Casa
Kennedy.
Oh, that was amazing. Listen, God.
James is the best.
James also really makes good. Man, my compilations of James are like the most fun to make. People love them. I love making them because I'm just I'm laughing hysterically the whole time that I'm cutting these videos. Like, I will spend whatever time goes into these videos or appear to take forever because they do, because I'm sitting there being like, oh. Play that again, put it in slow-mo. Yeah. Like, I'm laughing. So, but Casa Kennedy. I had to buy 12 towels. Like, what?
I had to go to Target and Best Buy. But welcome to Casa Kennedy. Casa Kennedy. I want to go to that restaurant. Ken and Lisa, wake up.
I want to go to Casa Kennedy. Well, no, Ken's back in the back sleeping.
Well, you know what it is? He can't be out there pounding the pavement all the time.
Lisa said. Stop! He's gonna get Lisa, stop.
He might knock your spark out.
Great B-roll.
They did the flashback we all love. That's the greatest.
So
it's the greatest, but this flashback, we always need this every couple episodes, but we don't get it all the time. Why don't you go make some more cosmopolitan? Yeah, right. Pumptinis. What does he say first? Make more cosmopolitans? How did I forget that? I'm going to get a demerit.
We need to get more cosmopolitans.
Yeah, and then pumptini. Yeah. The greatest. It's the greatest. I'm glad we got to see it again.
The little
pre confab conference. That's what happens. We hurt ourselves with the passion. It's a risk, but we got to take it. The pre-Jax Lisa conference. She's asking James, "What is it? What did he just want to be here again?" He's like, "Yeah, I guess Jax just wants to be here again." Again, just cut through the bullshit and cut to the good stuff and stop cutting out other stuff that we see sometimes in flashbacks, like Katie's paint and sip at home date. Why did we not see that whole thing?
Well, we saw a good amount of it, but it was just, I don't think it was entertaining. It was like, she was like, all it showed mostly was that the girl Tori was like, oh, Bob Ross was alive when video cameras existed. And it was like, I don't think...
There's a certain perversity to, like, I would like to see the whole drawn out awkwardness of the whole thing. Like, if there was an extra.
Did they make out again? Did they, like,
right.
Or just like, so what do you want to do next? Okay.
Yeah. If there would be like a web available entire date edit of just like at least 15 minutes, I would watch that.
No, this show needs to be filmed like Summer House, which is there's a 100 what is the word?
Robot cameras or stationary cameras or whatever
stationary.
In the walls.
Like, there's just 100 like built-in cameras everywhere, which at some point, I mean, Summer House last night, they showed me more than anybody needed to see. But, but like, I want a Big Brother feed of these people. You know what? And if that makes me weird, then fine.
Hey, so
then
be
I'm
it.
Weird. What? Oh, wait. What am I? That sound reminds me of. Oh, Stassi, when she was dressed as Marie Antoinette or whatever, and they were at the extra Tom Sandoval's birthday party that was themed as like being the most extra version of yourself. And she was like, so what if I want to work with my friends? If that makes me selfish, then fine. I'm selfish. So that just, I'm telling you, it's like my brain is filled with like Vanderpump worms. Like I can't even exist.
Lisa's actually opening Vanderpump worms soon. In the Valley, I think. She's trying to, you know, get another business in there. You know, because you can only get a good dog sitter from Vanderpump Dogs. I do like the parallels of Sheena and James and their concurrent anxieties or parallel anxieties. I did think it was rather interesting to see James get so worked up when the ladies are trying to say, it's going to be fine. And also, you can't really put Allie behind Graham Cracker, or sorry, Hippie, in the priority list. Although, I gotta say, Lala, it's like you can't ever let the man come first. Literally coming first. No, that's not good. But everyone should know that, especially guys, if you're watching, listening, whatever. Take.
I was waiting for that to like for Bravo to put as any kind of like. Like jokey music cue for that to be an innuendo where I was like, oh, she's. Oh, okay. Like, are we supposed to.
Because I didn't even think, I thought she was serious about who in the priority list of the relationship. So maybe she was making a joke and I didn't even clock
it. Well, no, I think she was serious, but it was so, but maybe she was, like, I just was like, why would you really, I don't know, I just was,
I was
like,
thrown
that was
too,
like a double entendre. And, but yeah, that, I mean.
She was serious. I think she was, and that's why it registered to me as noxious because ideally, like Ada and I like to think of both of us at the same level of priority.
Yeah, and that fight went somewhere it didn't need to go. Like, I didn't like that scene at all. It really bothered me, honestly. Like, I really didn't like it. Like, nobody brought... James didn't compare it to having... I just... I don't know. It just went... like left and it didn't need to, and you're like pushing him, and it hadn't, in my view, like the wedding and the dog and Allie and like this whole like deep analysis of their relationship and who's more important is like not even, I wouldn't even have gone there. I'd be like, I feel equal anxiety with my dog and who's gonna watch him, and I have like one person who I basically trust, like the anxiety of leaving your dog, and like James thought he would never see this dog again, and then all of a sudden he has his dog back in his life, and if especially if like they're trying to work with him on behavioral issues, and like if there is some other person who like isn't familiar with the situation and with that dog could be like, he tried to bite me, and then the neck by the time James comes home, dog gone again. Like, but also he never said, he was only trying to say like, oh, how many nannies have you gotten? Like, he wasn't saying like, this is more important than your human child. Like, it just, Lala, I just think they took it, they're like, well, we have kids and that's my kid, and don't you dare like bring up my kid. And it just was like, just hold on.
If there's something on the table that Lala can get indignant about, she's going to eat that snack.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought you were about to say the word snatch. And I was like, no.
She has eaten snatch. We heard about that.
I don't want. And no.
You did it. You did it.
If I hear the word cookie, she's ruined cookies for me. But I support that. It's just I need her to stop saying that word.
Do I have to redact? I'll have to bleep the. The word I just said that rhymes with batch, I think. Yeah.
It's
you said it first, and then
I know. You know, that's my fault.
Okay,
anyway,
fair enough.
Legally,
we're covered now. Okay. Phew.
I just felt like that. I mean, and then she was making fun of him at the end. She was like, "Oh, we made you upset." Like, I just felt like
No, I don't like that either. Like, you know,
I didn't like it. The whole thing, I didn't like it.
Because he's like seriously upset.
He's
like
an
when they brought up.
Emotional guy.
He
He
is,
cries
and that's.
a lot.
And when we realized that sometime during season 5 through 7, I don't know exactly when, that his bullish, obnoxious behavior was partly informed by the fact that he was bullied heavily as a kid. Oh, okay. It's just like Sheena's previous, what one could call wishy-washiness or whatever. Oh, she has OCD. Oh, okay. Like that, and not dismissing it in the way that Sandoval said, in the way he said it. But
oh, it makes sense that she has OCD now.
Well, like, you know, like, okay.
That's not how that, yeah.
Yeah, no, but in terms of relational, now they say it's postpartum OCD, but I think OCD, like when she talks about the intrusive thoughts and stuff, that is what would lead a person to be a little spongy or wishy-washy with the friend stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah. And I, you know, you and I talked, like, I think at great length in the redacted version of like, mental health issues and stuff like that. And so
we both enjoy them.
We both love them. So like, I'm not here to, you know, say she is or isn't whatever.
Oh, no, she says she has it. So when, and when she describes the basically thought loops and rumination as a bipolar person, I go, oh, okay. Like, I understand that. I understand the rumination stuff because it can really haunt you and everything. And also at that party in the outside, she talks about the thing where she worries about Brock and Lala and all that. Yeah.
My only, all I was going to say, I don't think any of that is unreasonable. I think all I was going to say is like when she was talking about Zoloft.
Oh, sorry. I totally, it was like, how dare
you? No, that's okay. No, it was the only thing that I, because again, in our redacted podcast, I was like, you know, I think that people, I like being open about medication that like I'm on, and you know, my followers sometimes in my like live stream and my chat will like talk to each other about it. Cause it's like not something that's shameful. I think it's something is helping you. Great. Like,
yeah,
I don't know how people exist without like, but that's just me. But she, so for me, so that kind of like shame or misinterpretation or misinformation about, you know, psychological drugs prescribed by a psychologist, like I don't like when there's like stigma or misinfo or whatever. And so for me, when she's, you know, being really open about her postpartum OCD and obsessive thoughts and things like that, and then she's talking to, I think it was Brittany, like Brittany came in for
Brittany, you mean Brittany who had the lower third
Brittany
card
Cartwright.
That said,
yeah.
Brittany, Sheena's friend.
Oh, what? Oh,
Brittany, Sheena's friend. Yeah.
So, but she was like, you know, I was on Zoloft for a month and then I stopped and then I was tired. And listen, no medicine affects anybody the same exact way as the next person, but like certain medications take a long time to forever, but like sometimes it could take like 8 weeks or 12 weeks to like really have an impact on the way you're regulating yourself and stuff. So to just like have this person on this show be like, well, I was on this for a month and then I was, you know, and then I didn't like it. And then I was tired. I'm like, well, who's advising her? But also we shouldn't be saying, like, I've been on Zoloft 6. It's changed my life for the better. I mean, I'm still, but like I'm able to regulate. I'm able to live my life in a much more manageable way. And I don't know. It just bothers me.
So I know exactly what you mean. It's two things. What I felt was, oh no, don't just go off of it. Talk to your doctor and see what they recommend.
Who's
for something else.
Her?
That's because the problem is, and I've seen this so many times in all aspects of life, people, they get a diagnosis. Now, it's a difficult thing to actually say, okay, I need to get something checked out. So once you pass that threshold, I always hope that people continue to explore possibilities, avenues, etc. Yeah. And once someone says, well, I was on it, I didn't feel good, so I stopped. two things. If you're on a lot of the SSRIs or mm-hmm. what I take, Lamictal or Lamotrigine mm-hmm. for my bipolar, if you just stop taking it, you are risking a lot of potential bad things, sometimes strokes, mm-hmm. sometimes a lot of stuff. Like you have to tape with Lamotrigine.
You have to wean off of some of these things. They put
Yeah.
They control your brain chemistry, so not control, but there's so much, they have such an impact.
Like, you can't just cut it off. With that as well, I don't want to combine the two things if there's not a link here, but she said something mm-hmm. about with the medication she wasn't going to drink. And so when mm-hmm. I saw her at the Hotel Ziggy Part 2, I thought, oh, she's ripped, which was great. I mean, she was very entertaining. But I thought, is she not on her medication? I wonder.
Well, didn't she say, okay, because I remember in the Sir Ally thing, she was like, I've been sober for 3 weeks today or whatever. She's like, I'm not drinking since I've been on my Zoloft, which I've been on it for so many years now that it's like, I'll drink sometimes and sometimes I don't. But I'm not advocating like, go get shit-faced with your rail a line of your Zoloft, like that's not how that works, you know, and it can have a big impact.
Because that's not how you take it, by the way. You have to boost
no
it.
That's not how you take it, but also you can, but also, like, you know, do anything you do, do it under proper medical supervision. But she at Hotel Ziggy, I feel like she said, like, this is the first time I haven't drank since I've been on Zoloft. And maybe I interpreted that, unless she said it and I'm just not remembering correctly, like, as she had stopped taking it by that point. I don't know. But again, like, these people, this group of people, to not consume alcohol for 3 weeks is like, or even 4 days. I remember Sandoval when he went on Hootie Moondle. He was like, yeah, I haven't drank in 4 days. And
he had coffee mug. He had the giant soup-sized coffee mug.
Listen, if 4 days, and I'm not trying to discount, if that's a real challenge for you and it's day by day, like, I'm not here to discount that. However, like, he, with him specifically, I mean, he was making it sound like he hasn't been sober a day in his life since for the last 10 years.
Well, he said something to that effect. He actually said, I don't know if it was 10 years, but...
And that's, again, I don't want to wade into territory that's like, if I don't know for a fact, I'm not here to speculate about like this or that, or you're exaggerating this or that. It's just, again...
No, he did say something to that effect. So
yeah, he was like, I was drinking every day. I was either at the gym or I was drinking. If I wasn't working out, I was drinking. If I wasn't drinking, I was working out. That sounds like I don't even like either one of those, really. So it sounds awful. But you know, just then to hear him say in the confessional, I know we were talking about Sheena, but again, just to hear him like look at the camera and those confessionals and say, like, I thought Rachel and I could have our first drink together, and
the important
things in life.
I'm supporting
her by not drinking. It's like.
Well, you know what? It brings into disappointing. It brings into sharp focus the whole like relationship with America, well, and other Western countries with alcohol. But mm-hmm. back to the medication thing. Ideally, I hope that Sheena talks to her doctor and gets something else, because.
Yeah.
This is what I was going to say. Lamotrigine can make me tired too. No. You didn't do anything bad. Yeah, no, that's, I like that. I like the discursive conversation. It's all good stuff. The Lamotrigine makes me sleepy sometimes, mm-hmm. but like I woke up in the middle of the night when it was time to take it and I took it and I went, oh good, because I'll take it. I'll get a little sleepy and then I can just use that to my advantage because I didn't sleep enough, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But you just sort of get used to the ins and outs of certain things. And mm-hmm. And look, I get it. You get tired. It's freaky. Talk to your doctor. But
yeah, she said she stopped taking it and then she was tired. So I was like, okay, well, that's probably a symptom of like randomly going off. Never mind.
I thought she said it was making me tired. It was making me tired, and I have stuff to do, so I stopped taking it. That's what I swear.
Maybe both. Honestly, I just know that I really wish. Things like that. I mean, well, Bravo is playing fast and loose with a lot of mental health stuff. So I just,
well,
I
that's
mean,
true. That's true.
I can't. There's a lot of problems.
I think
there.
Everyone should go to Arizona for 3 to 4 months. And then sue everybody afterwards. That'll help you. Oh, okay. Here's something that almost affected my mental health in a negative way.
Okay.
Katie and Schwartz meet for lunch at Mel's Diner. Great, cute. They order vegetarian based stuff at Mel's Diner. Like, what are you doing?
Okay. There's like a... I also was like, are they at Mel's? Who goes to Okay. I'm glad you brought that up because I was like, I was really like, who goes to Mel's at like in the middle of the day? Like that's, I don't, that just seems like a drunken novelty place to me. I don't know. I'm so sorry. No offense to Mel's. I've only been there. I was sober, but it was like at night and we were randomly like in Hollywood on Hollywood. What? It just was weird. And then you're like, can I have a veggie omelet and then a milkshake? Like, maybe. Oh,
I know.
Go off, but whatever. But I mean, but they, you know, they have really good chemistry as a divorced couple.
They do. I'm glad they're getting to a place where they could be friendly again and friends, because they do have a nice rapport back at the other pool party. That was really great once they got over the whole Max hurdle, which,
yeah,
by the way,
like...
yeah, and that whole thing, we may have talked about it in the redacted. I don't know. Of course, it's ancient history now. But what's important is that the Max shaming of it all should have been on Max and not on her.
Yeah.
Not on her at all. At all. And then the thing about Brock in that whole equation was him drawing a parallel. I know he was maybe just instigating, but anyone who thought that that was equivalent,
like
even on the after show, especially, he's like, maybe I don't really. And then people were bothered that he wasn't bothered, and I just thought, oh, this heteronormative stuff is bleh.
Well, yeah, and even Schwartz is still like, oh god, I really. There's so much about that episode where the water tasting episode.
Oh, that was a humdinger. Yeah, I think is that the one we covered and then lost? Is that the one?
Maybe. I think maybe it was the Max thing, because I remember being like, I remember talking to you about how much I loved Katie's reaction, which was like, yeah, and why are you talking about this?
Yes.
But the one where they were outside and Ariana was screaming at Tom inside the house and being like, that iconic like moment or whatever, and they're outside like with no fucking clue what's going on in there.
Sorry, I don't want to step. If you're gonna say what I think I was gonna say,
well, I just love that Schwartz brought it up to Katie by saying like, "You dirty dog," and then it went from there. And I just like, anyway, I love
that. That's why I didn't want to cut you off. And also when she's like, "Look at what you're wearing. Look at what you're wearing." that was great. And you know what? They're both right. They were both
that
right.
That jean jacket, like, that's not serving. And she's like, well, what is that terry cloth? You're not serving. Like, it just... Oh, and then they did it at Mel's. Like, my hair glow up. And like, oh, you had a hair glow up too? Yeah, look at my hair. Like, I just... Their sexual tension, it's like way more than I've ever seen when they were together, to be quite honest.
You know what it is? It's the veggie omelets. But by the way, if you go to Mel's, even if you're sober, even if it's the middle
of
the day,
don't order a veggie omelet.
No,
get a cheeseburger,
whatever the fucking
cheeseburger fries
French
and
dip.
A milkshake. Like, what?
Yes,
What are you doing any veggie omelet?
I mean, or a scrambled egg and sausage, something of that nature, and a pancake on the side. Don't go. There's a lot of places in LA to get vegetarian stuff.
Well. And see, that's what was confusing for me about Mel, is because they never showed, I'm really, like, I need to talk about Mel, because they never showed, like, a sign or the guy, you know, outside the sign for Mel's the guy, like, with the hat or whatever, and it's like, Mel's driving neon light, like, I could only piece together that it was Mel's because of the reflection of the sticker in the window or whatever behind
one
of them.
Yeah, they showed some
like
establishing.
I was like, does that say Mel's? But I feel like they didn't have, like, if they had an establishing shot, I don't recall.
No, it might be the same thing you're describing. And then
so I was like, why would they be, if they're not making it a point to be like, they're at Mel's. Why the fuck are they at Mel's?
Well, but don't they say that there's a confessional or something? Or they in the moment they say Mel's. Wow, it's been ages since I've been at Mel's.
Oh, maybe. Oh, no. I was gonna,
maybe the confessional. Look, it's a lot to keep in your in your mind. You know what I mean?
Did you? I don't know if. Do you watch Summer House ever?
Or no, the only one I've ever seen is the one where Stassi apparently looked like Steve
Jobs. The crossover.
Jobs.
Oh, yeah. And the white turtleneck bathing suit. Yeah. Well, last night they had a whole scene that they filmed inside of an Old Navy, which is like nowhere any of these girls would shop. And it was very like, we're at Old Navy. And I'm thinking of the other thing on Vanderpump that they did, which funny enough was the water tasting episode. But then I remember that it's been brought up several times before, which is that it's Sheena and Smirnoff. Like,
yes.
She came into the water tasting and Schwartz was like, what is that? Is that a bottle of Smirnoff? What do you bring, Smirnoff? And she's like, yeah, Smirnoff pink lemonade tastes really good with sparkling water. It's like, well, what? Okay. It just,
I love that. Get your bag. I remember we had communicated about something, Sheena and I, and it was right after I saw some IG live or something. There was a still someone had captured from her IG live, and she was talking like much like this. And then right here is a Smirnoff bottle. And I just told her and I said, I love that, by the way. Oh, no, it was just independent. I just said, hey, I just saw this thing. I love this. Like, get your bag. Good for you.
Yeah.
And I do love that. And also, Ada and I, so we both don't drink. And a friend of hers gave her such an incredibly unthoughtful gift. It was a fanny pack.
Smirnoff pink lemonade?
No, worse, because at least that you could like bring to a party. This is a fanny pack that has a huge Smirnoff logo on the side.
Oh, I was like, was it a wine purse with like the built-in straw and the like colonoscopy? Whatever that bag.
Yeah, the colonoscopy
is,
like thing. Yeah, the catheter. I would. I wouldn't mind one of those hats. You know, with the hats with the multiple mm-hmm. cans on it. But mm-hmm. I need one that would fit these, and then it would mm-hmm. be dangerous because what if I fell over and smash, crash, bang?
So
speaking of
I
liquids, I have to pee. Do you want to take a little break ski?
I would love to.
Find us on Instagram and Twitter at Pump Rules Pod, or go to PumpRulesPodcast.com for more information. Email PumpRulesPodcast@gmail.com and follow on Facebook at Facebook.com/PumpRulesPodcast. Thanks for listening and see you next time.